here we go. We're just, you know, we've talked about the faith of Christ and that sort of a thing. And in fact, even back in Ohio, I got a sermon on there where we nailed it down even more so, the faith of Christ. And it's very important. And yet so many people can't get a hold of that thing. It's just like that thing about imputation. I mean, there's what it says. I mean, why change it and why deny it? It's a marvelous thing. Sure, we don't deserve it at all. I mean, we just don't. One of the things I've been reminding myself in the last couple of days is we have to remember, you know, this about this conceit of Christianity that we're coming up with, and everybody thinks they're walking good, and a few things here and there they mess up and they need to confess it. And in the meantime, we're being blessed as a nation because we're, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was just thinking, you know, I think we have forgotten, or maybe people don't even know that. I know the schools don't teach that you're a sinner as such. They don't teach that you're lost. They teach the kids that they're okay, they're fine, they're not doing anything wrong. Let's just try a little harder kind of stuff, you know. And yet we have, you learn from Paul that as Gentiles, we were not even a people at one time. We weren't even considered. We had to go by our conscience. We didn't even have to follow that law that the Jews had to follow. I was thinking about that. That wasn't even written to us. It was written to the Jews. And so we were given a conscience. Romans chapter 2 talks about that. And so we were supposed to know what was right. And, you know, the Gentile nation came up and they didn't. They didn't care. They could care less about God and the whole deal. It said in there in Ephesians chapter 2 that they're without God, without hope. They were not part of the covenants of promise. They had nothing to do with Israel. They were lost. They were going to hell. Not a problem. It's obvious that's what it was. It was a problem, but they didn't know that. So how come all of a sudden, just because we ask Jesus into our heart, as they say in most places, or you become born again or something like that, how come all of a sudden we can do such marvelous things on the earth, out in our outward walk? Well, we know we can't. I think that's one of the reasons people don't like Paul. You think you're doing good as a Christian. All you got to do is read some Paul, read some Romans, read some Timothy, read some Titus, Philippians. I mean, read something. And you just don't cut the mustard. You are still short of the glory of God. We just, in our walk, why do you think, again, people tend to forget why we even have a judgment seat of Christ? Well, our sins have already been judged. But he still has to judge what we do because we're still, you know, in the flesh, not attached, but we're still walking on this earth. We still do things right and wrong. And we're not going to all of a sudden do everything right. We were not a people. We were dogs. So the flesh that we're dealing with is a non-people flesh. It's a dog flesh. So in other words, if we stay with this book and we learn some things, we can start doing some things right that pleases God, like we said this morning. We will not. Well, we really can if we want to. So We're really become conceited that we're really special people. And one of the big things that's floating around everywhere is faith. Denominational churches, everybody, Baptist churches, even the King James people anymore. They're just talking about faith, and we just have this great faith, and we just need to stay in the fight, and where's your faith, and get strong in the faith. And they go to these different verses in Peter and different places for their faith or their gospels or whatever. Not much mentioned there, I suppose, is faith with mustard seed and all that. So they need to muster up the strength of their own faith. And they can show scriptures for that, but they can't show that kind of scripture through Paul, which we know that. We've been over this, the faith of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ gives us the faith of Jesus Christ. So we realize by going through Ephesians 6 that what we have is none of ours. We've never done anything to earn what we've got. Our salvation is His, our righteousness is His, the faith is His, the shield is His faith. Now, so we recognize that. Looking at Hebrews chapter 11, let's look there tonight. I was just kind of reading through this the other night, and I got to thinking about this. Here's some more obvious things. Habakkuk chapter 4 is the faith, it's their own faith that they have to live by in the Old Testament. So we know that. His faith, not meaning Christ, but His, that person's faith. And if he loses that faith, he quits and gives up. He can be done. So with people today thinking that we're basing everything we have is on our faith, and we want to stand strong with our faith, and we do need to have our faith, and our faith does grow in strength. Sure it does. But how does this faith come to us? By hearing the Word of God. What faith is that coming to us? Well, that's the faith of Jesus Christ we're receiving. Our faith, our faith can come and go. We get tired. We get worn out. Our faith fizzles. Keep the faith, it says there. Well, yeah, I need to stay with my faith. I need to stand strong. I need to be encouraged. I know what's coming and all that sort of a thing. So yeah, my faith is important. But my faith is not the keeper. It's not what's going to keep me through this whole thing. How many out there, another website crowd out here, have ever lost their faith and kind of given up and just almost quit maybe, or just were really discouraged? Where's your faith? And somebody will hit you with that. Where's your faith? Pastors will get up there and they'll preach. Where's your faith? What worthless Christians? Then people cry and go to the altar and they'll do their thing and they'll rejuvenate their faith. But we know that's not true. We've been over this before. But we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you something else. Maybe just kind of solidify it down a little bit, or something to tell somebody in our conversations. Because everybody knows that Hebrews chapter 11 is our faith chapter. It's a hall of fame for faithers. Now, before we start that, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let's just find one little plug that reminds us that Hebrews is not written to us. This is not to us. This is for us. Why? Well, this ought to help us realize that what we have today as dogs, not a people, just a dog, that what Christ gave us, He didn't just make us saved. He gave us His faith, the faith of Christ. We'll read about those verses again later on. But Hebrews, look at verse 14. Come on, this is not us. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Do we have peace with all men and holiness? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness can defile a person during the tribulation. Have you ever had a pastor put the hammer down on you because of your bitterness? Right, we shouldn't be bitter. Paul talks about bitterness. But we cannot be defiled because of it. That would come out in the judgment seat, which is what the judgment seat will do. It'll take care of all that stuff. Clean house one way or the other. So, just so we know, this Hebrews chapter 11 is there for us, but it certainly is not to us. You go back into Daniel and all these other guys, all these heroes of the faith, as they call it, which we'll read here. These people were relying on their faith. And I'll show you that in this Hebrews chapter 11. There's a giveaway verse in here. There's a giveaway word. And it just kind of got me excited about it. So let's just read through chapter 11. There's a lot in there. These guys had to be some powerful people. Look at what they did based on their faith. Yeah, well, look what would happen to them if they let their faith fizzle. They would die. They'd have been eaten. They'd all these things. The whole thing. They had to have faith. And boy, if they, knowing what God had taught them, they better have faith. And they were rewarded for it. But that's not to us. For example, we go to Hebrews chapter 1, 11, verse 1 for the definition of faith. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that part of it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? For by it, what's that? Faith, the elders obtained a good report. Okay, so now here's this faith that these people have. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Yeah, we got a Bible that tells us that now. We still have to believe what the Bible says. There's still faith involved. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So, Abel had faith, but it was his faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And that's the kicker. How did these guys please God? I'll show you. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's works. And they were after him. And they had faith to go after him and to have him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we look at that verse, and these fake, false, deceiving preachers out there tell them, you have to have faith. If you don't have faith, you're not going to please God. Well, there's partial truth to that, but that's not what's written to us. And I hope you know what Roman chapter we're talking about here. We'll come back to that. Without faith, It is impossible to please Him. Let's do it right now. Romans chapter 8. I'll probably forget if I don't do it now. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Now, we got a problem here. These people that have this strong faith that's put to them in their Baptist churches, or King James churches, or Lutheran churches, or Presbyterian churches, from Oprah, all this stuff about faith, the faith in America, the faith in your team that'll win, all this kind of faith talk today. So if you have faith, you can please God. But it says in Romans 8, to us, see the difference there? We can't be in the flesh. We need to be spiritually circumcised. We can have all the faith we want, but we have to put our faith in Christ, and then we have to make sure that we have received Christ. What did we receive from Christ? We receive His faith. This doesn't happen in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, didn't even know what rain was, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith, which it was, for Noah. By faith, Abraham, remember Romans chapter 4, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She had to have faith, her faith, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So they haven't received them, they just saw them coming, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That makes me think, I wonder how many folks today would admit that they were a Gentile, lost, without God, dogs, not a people. I wonder how many would even understand that. Anyway, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Really, a city. Well, that makes me wonder about this Bride of Christ stuff. I wonder if maybe we haven't got something kind of Baptist state of that thing up a little bit. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses. These guys had the faith, had strong faith. When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because he had faith, his faith. He believed what he was told, gave him that strength. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now listen, we have to have faith. We have to have faith in what we're believing, what we're reading is true. You have to have faith to change your dress appearance. You have to have faith to that what Christ is saying is true. To go through those verses for the ladies to be quieter and not be so loud and the workplace, that takes a tremendous amount of faith to stand for what's right. And I'm not denying the faith that we have to have. Paul tells us our faith can still grow. What a man has to do when he gets married, he just has to have faith. And the children, you bring these kids up, you got to teach them faith and to believe what God said, even though you don't see it. And we're losing a lot of faith today because people want to see God action in action. I know too many people that are close to me that have said, where's God at every day? Well, what do you mean, where's God at? Where's your faith? You want to see something, it's because you've been taught this Jewish gospel that you have to see. And you're losing your faith. They need to realize that your faith, at the beginning, gave you the faith of Christ. And we'll see the importance of that in a few minutes. But yeah, we still have to have faith. But can you part the Red Sea? Can you do all the things these guys did? Can you go jump in a den of lions like Daniel had to, and with his faith be brave enough to go in there? How about these guys that knew they were going to get tossed into the fire, and they said, hey, listen, even if God doesn't rescue us, we still believe He's God, and He'll stay take care of us after we're burnt to a crisp. That's faith. They had faith. They were strong because of their faith. They believed what God said. So yes, there's the definition being applied. Verse 28. Through faith He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? Oh, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, remember, their faith, in Habakkuk, their faith, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Oh, can you imagine that? They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Marvelous verse here. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They had faith. And these all, having obtained a good report through what? Faith. And it still says, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So, that's a faith chapter. It's heroes of the faith, but just because they had faith to do what they had to do. That was what the, you know, calling or whatever you want to say would be. Verse 12, wherefore? So wherefore ties in all of chapter 11. Okay, so wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's a good verse, but you know what? That sin has been taken care of. Sure, we have something, everybody's got something that is harder for them than it is for somebody else. No problem. But yet, Paul takes care of that when he tells us, hey, that's not imputed. Get over it. Let's get some victory here. Let's have some triumph in these issues that we have amongst ourselves. Christ took care of all that stuff. There is no sin anymore in us. It's just a flesh thing. The sin is still there, and it's bothering our flesh. It's in our flesh, and we choose to follow it or we choose not to. And if we choose to follow it, God is still God. He is still our Savior. We still have fellowship with Him with this Bible. You quit reading your Bible. As soon as you open up that book, He's there. He's not gone. We're the ones that leave. This thing just goes on and on. Now here's the verse. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In your Bible there, do you notice that the word our is in italics? That's one of those words that they didn't have any paperwork for. And God just told these King James translators, that's the word I want in there, our faith. Okay, so now let's just put this thing in some kind of a context, whatever they say, from the Grammatical School of Institute Bible Knowledge people. Hebrews is not written to us. So when he's talking about looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's the faith that those people had to have. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So He gave those people the faith that they needed to have. Not the faith of Christ. Doesn't say that. He's just the author and finisher of our faith, so they had faith strong enough to do what they had to do. That's not written to us. That's written for us to know about these Jewish people. They had the faith they had to have to do those majestic difficult, magnificent works that they had to do to please God. Their faith that they had gave them that. Now it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now here's a verse that's been hugely taken out of whatever. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And this is where somebody pretty famous says, we need to plead the blood. I just for years have always wondered what that meant. And that's supposed to be some miraculous way of having Christ step in and fix things in your life because you pleaded the blood of Christ. Well, we are washed in His blood, no doubt. We are saved by His blood, no doubt. But to plead His blood, that isn't what that says. Resist it unto blood. You haven't had to resist to where you're going to get tortured. You're going to get bloody. You're not going to... That's all He says. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Our sin's been taken. We have the victory. Romans 5:8. We have the victory over sin already. We already have it. These people didn't have that. So to take somebody to Hebrews, puts them into a works category, puts their faith, what they need to have, and like I said, yes, we have to have faith to believe what He said in this Bible to be true, which is why you're dressing differently, which is why you're talking differently, which is why you fight the television, you fight the video, you fight the games, you fight the we's and the woes, and not that there's anything wrong with it, but like Paul said, if it's got a power on you, over you, then yeah, it's wrong. Don't get into it. We have faith. We believe what Christ has said. We believe what Paul says to us. That's faith. But what Paul says to us is marvelous stuff. Here's what he says to us. The righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, that's not the same in the Old Testament. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, they didn't have that. And the life which I now live in the... Why am I yelling? There's nobody in this house. You can always turn your volume up or down. Why do I have to yell? It's amazing. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, we're still separated from the flesh, but we're in our bodies still. I live by the faith of the Son of God. They didn't have that faith. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. They didn't get that in the Old Testament. They didn't get that in the book of Hebrews. He says in Ephesians 3:12, speaking of the Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, that's a great thing, by the faith of Him. Our boldness and confidence and access with confidence, is not because of our faith, it's because of His faith. And that the faith of Him will give us a method of making our faith stronger. But it's His faith we're living by. Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Whose faith? My faith? No, His faith. It's a marvelous thing we see. We see in Revelation 14, it says, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Yeah, the faith of Christ comes and goes with them. Old Testament, Christ is there, God is there with them, the Spirit of God is there, the Spirit of God is gone. It's all losable to the Jews. And it'll be that way during the tribulation. We know that we can't lose it because in Timothy, Paul says that Christ cannot deny himself. And we're sealed. They don't have that. So, again, nothing earth-shattering tonight. It's just that Hebrews shows us that these folks in the Old Testament and the tribulation, their faith is what's going to keep them going. And once again, us Gentiles who tend to forget that we were dogs and not a people, because that makes us a dog, then we suddenly think we've become something. And Paul will constantly remind us that we are not doing a good... Paul said, I didn't attain. Paul didn't? No, Paul fought the flesh and the mind all the time, spirit and the mind all the time. Paul had sin in him too. But it was gone. Christ wouldn't impute it because of faith of Jesus Christ. Not because Paul had such great faith. Paul had a strong faith, But what he lived by was the faith of Christ. That's what keeps us going. I don't think we still to this day can really fathom what it is Christ has done for us. I really don't. We're so Americanated. We had a good culture. We had morals and we had some good things designed for a culture like that. And things that are changing today is because our culture is changing. Christianity is going backwards into uncivilized appearance, uncivilized talking. Look at the okay, here we go. Picking on the ladies again. I'll get to the men in a minute. Look at the ladies today. They are so rude. They are so loud. They are so immodest. They are so against everything that God puts on a woman. They don't even want to have babies. They don't even want to have kids. You know how many times they're reading Facebook, people are tired of their kids? They'd rather go out. Don't go there. Look at the men. I watch these war commentaries. I've seen books on the pictures of what it was like during the World War. Sam, you were a submarine guy. You had some pretty scary moments out there. Some guys out there still have that military. I never had that. And as a result, I figure I'm just hardly a man. I mean, that military is some tough stuff. I can't imagine what the decade was like when the World War II, World War I, all that stuff was common. It was a way of life. The morals during then, I'm sure there was some wickedness. Of course there was, but Christianity has brought us into civilization. Look at the path of the Holy Spirit around the world. That country, that area, it changed. Now it's all going backwards. Going back to head chopping. Going back, even in our schools and the music programs, here you go for you, they're actually in the last 10 years have been putting kids backwards in music, back to the Renaissance, back to the simplified instruments, back to the dancing and the movement junk, to try to get people to realize that, get before the music that pleased God. They don't want to talk about that. So we're going backwards. Of course we are. But we can stand strong because we have His faith to keep us going. You want to look at, I always go to this verse lately. It's a powerful verse to me. Philippians chapter 1. It's just what we're supposed to do as a Christian. We know we're going to grow. We're supposed to grow. Reading our Bible, make some choices in our life. And it says right here, verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9, Philippians. I've talked about this verse so many times. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's supposed to be our goal. The way you dress, the way you behave, the way us men at work are to be at work. Let's see here. There's a possible big strike going on at a Boise thing. And according to Paul's teachings in Timothy, we're supposed to just let those crummy bosses be crummy bosses. That's a real hard thing to deal with. But that gives us that Christianity. We work anyway. So that's really against the Scriptures to do that. So, us men, how much of that manliness have we lost with this modern Christianity that has wimped us out, and you don't dare stand up in church and say anything because you're going to get hammered by who? Probably the lady pastor. Or the ladies in the church. Possibly even your own wife. So, our faith can waver, but we just have to realize what Christ has given us. He says by reasonable service, we ought to try to change our lives. Didn't he say that? Look at Romans chapter 12. Isn't that what he's asking us to do? I mean, you guys are working. I'm working a job now, which is, there it is. I mean, that's what we do. Otherwise, I was just a lazy, do-nothing pastor kind of a guy. No pressures there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Look at these two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, as physical, a living sacrifice. That means you're sacrificing, you're giving up, you're breaking away from stuff you want to do, your body wants to do. It's a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then he tags this thing on, which is your reasonable service. This is the least God asks us to do, is to please Him. Then here's this big verse. I don't think this is preached in church anymore anywhere. And be not conformed to this world. Now that can turn into a very legalistic thing, but you follow Paul's teachings and stuff. We are not to conform ourselves to this world. We're not supposed to do what they do, be like them, dress like them. That's just a command. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, King James Bible, see what we're supposed to do and not do to please God, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that is not three different wills. That is the will of God. It is good, it is acceptable, and it's perfect. And we've learned in the past that that will of God is for us to follow Paul. That's what Paul teaches is the will of God, is to learn to follow the risen Savior. That's His will for us. So, how do we do this? We have faith. Oh, we don't have enough faith to do this. He gives us His faith. Do you know what He does to the nation that was worthless, without God, without hope, dogs barking, yakking, the whole spiel, smelly dogs, going back to the vomit, all this kind of stuff. He gave us everything. He gave us His faith. We don't have to worry about what they did in the Old Testament days. We don't have to worry about what these Great Commission people are worried about. We don't have to worry about, did we get everything confessed? Maybe I didn't confess everything. And they put the hammer on you for the things that you do wrong or whatever, but all things are lawful. Not things are expedient. Don't want to cause anybody to stumble. So we got our strings to follow and look to. So anyway, that was just a quick thing I noticed in Hebrews, author and finisher of the Jewish faith, not the religion of their faith. And Christ gives us His faith. That's a marvelous thing to realize what Christ has done for us. And the least we could do is cover up. The least we could do is shut up. The least we could do is put up. The least we could do is grow up. It's all He's asking us to do. And we're gonna be afflicted for it. We're gonna suffer affliction from our friends. We're gonna suffer affliction from the fellow teachers. We're gonna suffer affliction from our fellow workers. We're gonna suffer affliction from our parents. We're gonna suffer affliction from our kids. We just are. And if your Christianity is based on His faith, then you know it's worth fighting for. But it's hard. I know it's hard. I know some situations where it's actually irritating because these people claim to be Christians. We have people claiming to be Christians, giving us probably a harder time than those that don't care about it. We get more respect from the lost world. Well, if that's what you want to believe, have at it. Don't bother me with it. Okay, so what do? We quit bothering with it so we can live amongst the world and conform ourselves to the ways of the world. We're not supposed to do that. We're still supposed to tell those lost people who respect us to believe what we believe, we're still supposed to put our speech with some salt in there. We are. We're still supposed to tell them why you are dressed like you are. We're supposed to tell them why we don't do some of those things that we do. It's going to be tough. You know, it's harder to do something right when nobody's bugging you than it is when somebody's bugging you. Have you ever noticed that? For example, I'm just yakking, I guess, here. I would go home to my parents years ago, and I wouldn't read my Bible very much when I was working and all that stuff, but when I would go home, being the Lutheran family, I would want them to know that I'm reading my Bible. I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to do that, because I get resistance. Resistance makes us try harder. But if we're just amongst an environment where it's pleasurable, enjoyable, nobody's bugging you for what you believe, you know what, you want to dress like that, talk like, hey, that's fine with us. We're not going to bug you. I think that's what makes us go to their side. I could give you some names right now of people that I know, being a pastor, that have gone over to they've conformed themselves to the world. There's a website out there that announces that. Did you know that? There's a couple websites out there, actually, that announce to the world that we have conformed ourselves back to the world. We no longer want to be a King James Bible-believing, Paul-following type of a Christian. It's called Two Facebook. It's called Twitter, Tweaker, whatever. People are advertising to the world that they're conforming themselves to this world. Where's their faith? They thought that their religion was based on their faith. No, the truth is based on the faith of Christ. Anyway, I'm just going, I guess. I'll just be quiet. We have His faith. We sure don't realize it, do we? We don't appreciate it. Reasonable service. Cover up, shut up, dress up. I forgot all those apps we did. Grow up. You know, anyway, there you are. There you are for the night. Hebrews chapter 11, it's a faith chapter, but it's not to us. Now, Wednesday night, Mark, if you're there, Mark's going to play a repeat sermon, a rerun, because I've got to go pick up my wife after school at the airport. She's coming back from Arizona. I won't be back till, who knows, 8 o'clock or so. So it'll be a rerun of a sermon. Hope you don't mind. And sorry, that's the way it is. I might even make a sermon tomorrow or tonight or something. I can't do it tomorrow, but tonight, and have Mark play it. It might be a new sermon, but it's still going to be a tape thing, so you can't yell at me during that sermon. Anyway, so there you go. We'll figure something out for Wednesday night, but it won't be live. It might be new. I got some notes I wanted to talk about tonight. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy preaching and teaching. I want to learn more about this Bible. I want to learn more about the truth. And I hope that we all get that way and change our lives. It's a reasonable service. You know that, right? From what He's done for us, Gentiles, dogs, no people. So good night. It's been nice having you there.